pray for these prayer requests, Lord, as well, for the health of Pastor Nee down in Sydney, Lord. I continue to pray for him. Be with the doctors and give them wisdom to help them to know how to best treat him. Pray also, Lord, for Brandon, who was in a car accident, and we praise you that he was able to be discharged from the hospital, but we pray, continue to pray for his recovery as well. This lady who suffered a medical emergency, Lord, we pray for her. Pray that you be with her and her family as well. Father, we just thank you for your great faithfulness. Lord, would you be with the rest of our service? Would you bless in our offering? Would you bless those who are giving, that they might give joyfully? And I pray what is given might be used to further advance your kingdom, to your ministry, that it might be used to your glory. I just pray for the rest of the service now as well, Lord. Be with the pastor as he brings your word. Help us to listen well. Help it to bear fruit in our lives. Just thank you for your great faithfulness. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our final hymn this morning before the message is number 340, Nearer, Still Nearer. And if you can all stand, we'll do the first three verses of this lovely hymn. Thank you.
Cleansing thy that is right. Give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, everyone. You may be seated. We'll now have the morning's message. Children, you can be dismissed. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
All right, just a word before I'll ask you to turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. While you do that, if you would like to, for our carols night, it's a wonderful hour that we get together and sing Christmas carols. It's a wonderful night, but if you would like to play a Christmas carol, or you would like to sing, or a group of you would like to sing, you certainly may. Just let me know, and we'll work it out. Okay, so just keep that in mind, and it'll be it's always a really good night, and so lots happening. Congratulations to our seniors that are connected to the church. Congratulations on graduating, and many prayers for you as you go forward. All right, following God in hard times is the thought of our message this morning, and we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy today and then next week. Then we'll look at Psalm chapter 23, verse 6 the next week, and probably, I'm not sure what we'll do, we'll take a break from 2 Timothy for a little bit. But this week, I'd like us to not read verses 1 to 9. We've looked at those verses for a little bit now. Talking about perilous times, dangerous times. Why? Because men are lovers of themselves, and we've got our love all wrong. Paul tells us the solution, the way to fix this in our lives. If we find ourselves going that way, Paul says, okay, watch out, but this is what you can do. Verse 10, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But even evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So this morning I want to talk to you about following God in hard times. Paul was committed to getting the gospel out, and as he writes this book, he's in prison. He's in prison, and he knows that his end is near. In the next chapter we get to, he as much as says that. So Paul is giving Timothy just everything he can. I can just see him, you know, just sitting down and just thinking, what are the last things that I can share with Timothy? What do I really need him to know? And he would be thinking, there's so much. But then he has to bring it back, and he just says, well, first, verses 1 to 9, he says, beware, watch out. Know that difficult times will come. Don't be surprised by them. Don't be sucked into them. You don't have to do like everyone else. My mom always said, if someone else jumped off a cliff, would you? You know, you ever get that kind of logic when you said, well, so-and-so did it? Well, there's some logic that we don't need to do. But Paul here in this next verse, he gives 7 characteristics that described his life and that he desired Timothy to emulate or to copy, to follow himself. And he begins the verse with, but you, Timothy. Yeah, I know about all those people. I know about the crowd. I know about others, but you, Timothy. And there's an extra you there in the original language. He's really focusing. Okay, Timothy, whatever the other people do, that's their problem. That's what their choice is, but you are responsible for you. You, Timothy, you have known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. And really, as you read these books that Paul wrote, these different letters, Timothy was right beside of him for a lot of it. He was right beside. He was watching. For example, in the next verse down, it says about the persecutions he suffered in Lystra. That's Timothy's hometown. Timothy watched as Paul was being stoned. Timothy's seen Paul. He's seen how he responds. He's seen how he reacts to life. And Paul says basically with that, the idea is that Timothy, you know what I teach. You know what I believe. You know what makes me go. You know my manner of life. You know my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering. It's all of these things. They're my. You've seen me. Timothy, these are the things that I want you to do. There's 2 things I want us to consider before we look into that verse for a little bit. First of all, the list of what mattered to Paul had changed since he had become a Christian. The parting advice that Paul gave Timothy, much different than what he was as Saul, the persecutor of Christians. In fact, our Bible reading this morning was that this is his old list. This is what he would have said. Okay, you need to compare yourself to me. This is what he would have used to have said. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He was circumcised the 8th day. He was an Israelite indeed of the tribe of Benjamin. That is King Saul's tribe. A Hebrew of the Hebrew is touching the law, a Pharisee, very strict concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul lived morally good before he became a Christian. But persecuting the church is not okay. But then he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You know what? Paul says, I've changed list. Don't worry about that stuff anymore. Follow Christ. Second thing I want you to notice is that these 7 things that Timothy puts in our verse today, Paul knew that Timothy's failure in any of those areas could result in disaster. I remember of hearing of a pastor here in Townsville years and years and years ago. He had a very good ministry going, and his neighbor's chicken just kept coming into his yard. His neighbor's chicken just kept coming into his yard, and this pastor didn't like that, didn't appreciate it. So finally, he helped this chicken not come into his yard anymore, in not a good way. And that actually, if you need me to fill in the details, let me know afterwards. But that actually hurt his reputation. That he let his anger get the best of him. Paul knew that failure in any of these areas could be disastrous for Timothy. In the building world, if you don't follow instructions, the safety instructions, putting your safety harness on, I can't imagine being those guys right there. I don't like heights. Have I mentioned I don't like heights? I just wouldn't like to be that. I'd want so many safety things on. Well, you need at least a couple. And not putting them on can be very dangerous. It might be convenient not to, but it could be very dangerous. Well, just as in the construction world, not following protocol, the things you're supposed to do, the things you know you should be doing. Well, Paul says, you know what? These things that he's listed here, he's seen others not mess up in them. Hymenaeus and Philetus, they got their doctrine wrong. And really, when they got their doctrine wrong, it affected not only them, but others. They were teaching people that Jesus had already come, the resurrection had already taken place, and it was shaking a lot of people up. If we get our doctrine wrong, that can really hurt us. Did Hymenaeus do that again? I have to check that one. Hymenaeus and Alexander got the manner of and faith wrong. Manner of life and faith wrong. 1 Timothy 1, 19 and 20. The idea is that they had erred, doing the wrong thing, and their faith. And basically, they had shipwrecked their faith. Demas got his love wrong. 2 Timothy 4:10, which Lord willing, we'll eventually get to. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas had his love wrong. The rich young ruler got his purpose wrong. They that will to be rich, 1 Timothy 6, 19 and 10, 9 and 10, those that will want to, that's just what they set their goals on. It says that they pierce themselves through with many problems. You look back at the rich young ruler in Matthew number 19, and the Lord, loving him, looked on him and said, go sell everything that you have, give you money away, come follow me. And he went away grieving because what he had mattered to him. We can get our purpose wrong. May I ask you this morning, what purpose? What's your aim? What's your purpose? Esau got his long-suffering wrong. Esau got mad at his brother. Should have been really upset with himself making the choice that he did. But you look at Hebrews 12, 15 and 16, it talks about Esau's bitterness toward his brother. You remember what it says about Esau? Esau determined to kill him. he was going to kill him. And then Phygellus and Hermogenes got their patience wrong. It says that basically they forsook Paul. They turned from Paul. They canceled him. We're not doing you anymore, Paul. We're not doing this anymore. So it's that easy. And time and time again, Paul is thinking back of these different people, and he thinks, you know what? There's so many examples of these things. Keep going right. Make sure you're applying yourself to truth. So what do we need to do? We need to follow Paul's example. The first thing that he puts might throw us off a little bit. It's like, you know, in looking back at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, he says, perilous times shall come, and the first thing he puts is people are going to love themselves. It's just going to be all about me. Well, Paul says the very first thing that you need to mind in hard times, difficult times, is your doctrine. Your doctrine. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, and doctrine, it gets a bad rap sometimes. It sounds all boring. It sounds like something that we don't want, but we all have it. We all act on it every day. We all, on the things that we've learned, we act. For example, I've sat on these chairs long enough. I know they'll hold my weight. I've learned this is something I'm willing to do this because I've learned that these chairs will hold me up. Well, Paul said that you better watch what you're thinking, watch what you believe. In fact, he says that you could really just get sick, not physically so much, but from not following good doctrine. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Hold fast, he tells Timothy, the form of sound words. The word sound there means healthy. Those things that are going to build you up. Did you know that Jesus loves you? Did you know that is something that you can keep and that will be something that will help you? If you ever get to the point to where you think God hates you, that's wrong doctrine. Or that God is not good. Or that he is not fair. Or that he is not just. It's so important for us to have, and I realize we differ on lots of different things. But there's foundational truths that, you know, really you can't differ on. It's going to make a difference for you to change it. Hold on to those things that are going to help you be healthy. 1 Timothy 4:6, he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. How are we going to be nourished up in the faith? Well, by reading this book for ourselves. I am so thrilled that you're here this morning. I am tickled to death. But can I ask that you get into this book and that I'm happy for you to just go back over everything that we've talked about and make sure, hey, this fellow didn't take this out of context. Are you in this book? Are you being nourished up by this book yourself? Are you in it? Are you reading it? Are you learning it? Well, I didn't understand it yesterday. Well, keep reading. Keep reading. Read it in, like, start at Matthew or start and just keep going through. Don't just say, well, I'm going to read here today. Nahum. Tomorrow, I'm going to read John. Read it like you would any other book. It's a wonderful being nourished up in good doctrine. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Again, our teaching is so important. He says, take heed unto yourself, unto thy doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Doctrine matters. What we believe matters. Why? 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, because I believe something, I write or I speak. Because I believe something, I do, I act. And we act on what we believe. We do move. In fact, 2 Thessalonians 2:2, Paul is trying to correct a problem. He said somebody had written to them and told them that the Lord Jesus had already returned, and that the tribulation period was starting. And he says, calm down, you're not believing the right thing. It hasn't. Calm down. So if we don't believe the right stuff, it can really throw us off. Reading this week, about a fella who had seen a picture of an old burnt-out shack. And I can just picture this shack in the mountains of North Carolina. This shack had been burnt down. And really, the only thing left of the old burnt-down shack was the chimney. And I can just visualize it. And the charred debris. This is a painting, actually. This is a painting. And in the painting, it's like a granddad is standing beside his son. Granddad doesn't have very much clothes on, like he just escaped the fire. The son's got his overalls on. He's looking up. He's looking up with tears in his eyes. And it's like granddad looks down at him and he shares his doctrine with him. He says, hush, child, God ain't dead. Sometimes we look at life like God is dead. And what we need to do is we need to bring back our thinking, no, he's not. We got to correct the thinking. It's what we believe. The number of times this week, no kidding, that this message brought me back into line, or said, yep, I had to repent. It was helpful. So the first thing is what we believe affects what we do. God's not dead. What we know, what we've learned. Second thing is the manner of life. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life. This is basically the only time this word is used in our New Testament. It's the only time this particular word is used. Paul refers to his manner of life in other places. And it's basically the way he behaved himself, his actions every day. He said to the Thessalonians, he said, you are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. It says in 1 Corinthians number 9, chapter 9, verse 27, I keep my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Lots in that, but we'll just hit it just a little bit. I keep my under my body. The idea is that every time, are you a person that's tends to get angry or bitter or rah-rah-rah? Whatever your rah-rah-rah is, do you ever find yourself starting to go down that path and you say, stop it? Let's bring ourselves back. Paul said there, I keep under my body. If that body starts going the wrong kind of thought, he says, I smack it back into place. Now, not physically, not really. He doesn't beat himself, okay? Just make sure, you know, I'm not saying that we should hit ourselves. But Paul is saying, you know what? I watch myself. If I start going the wrong way, if I start thinking wrong, if I start acting wrong, and he's just being real here. I do. We have that tendency. But he pulls himself back. Stop it. Repent. Stop it. Lest I should be a castaway, just a pot that's got such a crack in it that it can't be used. Thirdly, his purpose. His purpose, thou hast fully known my purpose. Timothy, you know my aim. You know my goals. You know what I'm about. And you know, looking, Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. It was his aim. He wanted to please God above anything else. That's what mattered to him. That's what mattered to him. Speaking of Barnabas, who when he had come and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. What is our purpose this morning? Well, just to make it through the day sometimes, I feel like. But what is our overall purpose and aim? Are we trying to get rich? And I'm not saying it's wrong to invest, but is that what we're about? Or to be liked by everyone, or just to have nothing but peace? Paul, when Timothy was watching him, he said, you know what? Paul was about glorifying God. Paul wanted to follow the Lord with everything he had. In fact, Paul said in verses 13 and 14 of our Bible reading this morning, brothers and sisters, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He wanted, when the Lord came, he wanted to be pleasing in his sight. He was God-focused. What's our aim this morning? What's our aim? Then notice his faith. Paul says, watch your faith. Watch your faith. Faith is the confident expectation that God is and will do what he said. It's us just basically believing God that he will honor his word. John tells us that it's our faith that makes us not wear Nikes. The word overcome there is the word Nike. It's the word, faith is what helps us overcome. You look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 4 and Hebrews chapter 11, it was their faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Do you remember the storm in Acts chapter 27? Paul had said, and he just sort of gives that little dig, I told you not to go. But they hadn't seen the sun for 40 days. It's been such a bad storm. And they had nearly given up hope, and then all of a sudden, the Lord sends an angel to Paul. And this is what Paul's words to them says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. This is what he's telling the other people on board, the sailors. Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among us. And they looked around, they said, man, it's looking bad. What did Paul say? For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Paul believed God's word, even when circumstances pointed otherwise. Three more things I want us to look at quickly this morning. And these can be some of the hardest, most dangerous ones. Following God in difficult times, first of all, or nextly, is we need to be long-suffering. We need to be long-suffering. He says there in that beautiful long list, he says, Timothy, you know how long-suffering I've been. The word long-suffering gives the idea, if you probably see that, but that long thing, that's a fuse coming out of the bomb there. To be long-suffering means to be long-fused, not short-fused, not short-tempered, but long-fused. How dangerous is it for us to be short-tempered, to have a short fuse? First Timothy 1:16, I think what helped Paul is that he knew that God had a long temper with him. And he says as much. He says, you know what? Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The Lord let this man, Paul, before he became a believer, he let this man hold the jumpers of everyone while they threw rocks at Stephen and killed him. Time and time again, the Bible says that Stephen was a man full of faith. Paul understood that the Lord had been very patient with him. Being patient with others is a fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Having a long temper and not doing this. I'm having a long temper with you today. No, you're not. You're just having a dig there. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. You know, Jeremiah was, sunk down in mud, just way up on him. Yet he kept sharing the good news. It was actually a judgment, but they could have repented. The Old Testament prophets, they told and told, come back to the Lord, come back to the Lord, come back to the Lord. Even though the people rejected them, they showed long-suffering. Who are we to be long-suffering with? 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. The word patient is our word. Be patient with all men. Be long-suffering with all men. Then notice his charity. Paul's love. Now, Demas got his love wrong. But Paul says, Timothy, make sure you keep your love right. He had mentioned six wrong loves in 1 Timothy 3, 1-9. He wanted Timothy to get his love correct. One writer said that love is willing self-sacrifice for the good of another that does not require reciprocation or payback, or that the person being loved is deserving. That's exactly the way the Lord loves us. 2 Corinthians 12:15, Paul understood that. He says, you know what? I'll gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I'll be loved. A mom will probably never be paid back for the thousands of nappies that she changed. But what does she do? She just loves anyway. When someone says something to you, I'm sort of maybe at home now, and it just hurts. You just love anyway. Someone at church, at work, says something to you. Maybe you need to talk to them about it. But you love anyway. The last thing this morning is patience. You've known my patience. You're not on my last nerve. The idea of this is different. It means to bear up under. And this patience is talking about the problems, the difficulties, the trials that we go through, the hardships that the Lord allows in our lives. It's our response to them. Be willing to stay under there. And you know what? Can I just say, I know I have said, and you've probably said it too, maybe not. You know, I can't do this anymore. You ever said that? But you know what? If the Lord doesn't change your circumstances, yes, you can. Now, in your own strength, you can't. But He'll help you. He will help you. He's promised. So when you get to that point that you say, I can't do this anymore, hang on. Because with His help, you can. You can. His grace is sufficient. When Emmeline passed away, I remember praying, and I think I've mentioned this, I remember praying, Lord, give us the grace that we need to be able to handle this. And it's like the Lord just sort of tugged my heart and said, Kelly, been giving you the grace you need, and I'll continue doing that. You don't have to worry about it. I'm there. You know what? The Lord puts us in different circumstances, different situations that we have to bear up under. that we have to, some are heavy, some are hard, some are very quick, some are very long. Paul says, you know what? Follow in the Lord. Follow in the Lord, it might be difficult. In fact, it will be difficult at times. But Timothy, what you need to do is following God in hard times. You need to watch what you believe and act on. You need to watch your manner of life, your purpose, your faith, your long-suffering, your charity, and your patience. You know what? That's what we need to do too. Letting it go, just not trusting the Lord in some of these areas. And by the way, if ever you find yourself letting down in some of these areas, if there's a time whenever you're not long-suffering, can I ask you to go to whomever you just weren't long-suffering with and say, even if it's your children, Mom, Dad shouldn't have talked to you that way. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Or to whoever else you weren't long-suffering with, I'm sorry I said that. Or did that. You know what I'm saying? So this is so applicable to all of these things. So this morning, following God in hard times, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you that the Lord Jesus is our friend. He's there. You've given us your word that we can know more about you and how you work in our lives. And thank you for the example of Paul, for these words to Timothy that we all need. We all need help in these areas. We need these reminders. And Lord, thank you that we can trust you. Thank you that you do care, that you do know. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, let me ask you two questions. First of all, do you know Jesus is your Savior this morning? Do you know Christ is your Savior? If you were to die today, do you know for certain you're going to heaven when you die? If you don't, I'd be glad to talk to you after church. Just say you'd like to talk to me, I'll be glad to do that. Second thing, is there something in these seven characteristics that the Lord said, you know what, maybe you need to be trusting me more. Maybe this area of your long-suffering or manner of life or your aim, we can get our aim wrong. Is there something the Lord spoke to you about? And then the last thing is, if the Lord spoke to you about something, can I ask you not to let that go? Nobody else knows. 'Tis true, but you and the Lord do. Can I ask that you follow that up? That you commit that to the Lord and ask Him to help you to go forward in that area. Father, thank you for your amazing grace. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, in difficult times, that we would be about your business. We glorify you. We'd want to reach others for Christ. And then, Lord, that we'd just be faithful, diligent, doing whatever you have us doing. Thank you for example of Paul again, and we pray that you would dismiss us now in your care. Help us, Lord, not to let those things that you've spoken to us about, help us, Lord, not to let them fly away. Help us, Lord, to act on them, because that's your speaking to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jared, if you would come lead us in that the last song. If I can be of help, please let me know. Thank you.